Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hello and welcome to the Following On podcast from TalkSport. I'm John Norman, and alongside double Ashes winner Steve Harmison, looking back at every day of India's tour of England. Trent Bridge at first up, day one of the first test of five, 81 overs of, well, when I wrote this originally, I said glorious test cricket. I've kind of changed my opinion on that count. But anyway, we will still dissect, we will still discuss, and we will still debate. You are listening to Following On from TalkSport. So, if you're listening to this podcast, you probably know by now that England won the toss and batted before losing Burns for a duck in the first over of the day. And that really set the tone. Crawley and Sibley got through to 15 minutes before lunch, before the latter was caught behind for 27. Sibley batting the entire session for just 18 runs, but was out just after lunch without adding to his score. It meant Root and Bairstow were reunited. For a while it worked. They put on over 50, but then five footballs before tea, with England looking to be handily placed at 138 for three, it all changed. Four balls after tea, both Bairstow and Lawrence had been dismissed, England going on to lose their last seven wickets for just 45 runs. Joe Root top scored with 64, Sam Curran weighed in with 27 not out, but sorry, batting scorecard for England batsmen registering ducks to go with the four wickets that Jasprit Bumrah took. But the bowlers for India shared the wickets around. India at stumps 21 without loss. Wow, we have got some moaning to do over the next 25 minutes or so. You're listening to Following On.
Story of the day.
So, Harmy, look, we've been doing this show for quite some time now, and there's a real feeling of deja vu. But I think we have possibly reached the tipping point. Looking at social media, it feels like enough's enough. But really, what can be done about this England batting order? It's, if you look at the averages, it's weak. If you look at them play, you know, you've got batsmen that do not look full of runs. They do not look full of confidence. They do not look like they've got the technique. Joe Root aside, and the moment Ben Stokes was ruled out, there was a sense of inevitability that coming up against a brilliant India bowling attack, England would crumble, and crumble they have done.
Yeah, crumble they have done, and yeah, you've covered some good points there. And where we go, how do we get to the next point? Who survives this, and what is the problem? Huge questions, things that we've been asking for quite some time now. And the honest answer is, it's hard. You know, I sit here knowing what it's like to sit in that dressing room when things aren't going so well, because, you know, we're all fantastic cricketers when our days are numbered. And we go out into the commentary box or into a pundit, into a studio. And I'm never going to question anybody and say they don't care, because they do care. I know for a fact that these kids in that dressing room, it'll be hurting. It'll be really hurting them. And I'm finding it hard, wondering which way I go here on, do I blame the players or do I blame the system? And the system, and I mean by the system, is we've picked three players who have not played first-class cricket so far this season, and we're 20 weeks in. We're nearly 65% into a cricket season. And we pick three players for a test match against India, against Jasprit Bumrah, Mohammad Shami, Siraj, Thakur, whether a question mark or not playing, or Jadeja. We pick three players who have not picked a bat up against the red ball so far this season. We've got a top order who has been misfiring for quite some time. We've had, you know, we got beaten India in Chennai, and that was off the back. Well, we won in Chennai, sorry, and that was the ninth game out of 12 test matches we won. But Joe Root won, I think, three of them by himself, you know, in Sri Lanka and before. And you look at the scores that England have had since that test in Chennai. One score of 300 plus, one score of 250 plus, one score of 200, and nine scores of under 200. Nine scores of under 200 in a test match, you know, in the last sort of five or six test matches is embarrassing. Absolute embarrassing. And the biggest stat that's embarrassing for me, and I think this is about, I think this is right. We've had 31 scores of zero in nine test matches. 21 of them have been top seven. That is just that you can't hide away from criticism for that. It's a lack of technique, it's a lack of ill discipline, it's a lack of your thought process, decision making, and all that. Because I've just watched Jimmy Anderson and Stuart Broad. You could accuse them of bowling a little bit wider, but that's how I would bowl it. Kale Rahul and Rohit Sharma on a surface. You know, that's how you get these guys out, by building pressure and make them play away from their body. And they've just bowled 12 overs, 13 overs, and Rohit Sharma have just given England's top order a lesson about standing still, watching the ball, knowing where your off stump is, and making correct decisions. And that, for me, in a nutshell, of where England are over the course of this last year. My biggest bugbear, and that really annoys me, really, really annoys me, is we have bowled 78 overs. Our crowds back in play. That is disgusting. Absolute disgusting that we've bowled 78 overs in an uninterrupted day's play of cricket when we've waited 18 months to get people back into grounds. I think the game needs to hold its head in shame for today's play on that front more than anything else.
We grew up with Test cricket being the pinnacle, and I wonder whether kids today will be feeling the same, you know? I mean, I wonder if Zach Crawley and Lawrence, you know, they were picked for London Spirit when the 100 was first come around, and they hadn't played for England then. I wonder if they'd rather be playing the 100. Of course they wouldn't. I'm not suggesting they would. But it's, why would you want to put yourself through this? Because you only have to look at the player who came in at number five to see what this England side does to you. Johnny Bairstow, Mike Atherton came up with a great line, by the way. He said, when Bairstow and Root were playing today, it was the only time England looked like they were playing Test cricket. Johnny Bairstow was doing adequately well, perfectly well, and he has been messed about, hit left, right and centre. Lawrence would probably have been dropped today, by the way, but or it's Jack Leach. There's always a fall guy. And then when they go through all the players and they come back to the start again, and it's Bairstow who comes back, despite not playing any red ball cricket for about 10 years. He, like the rest of the England team, they're being set up to fail, surely.
Yeah, they are being set up to fail. But again, I go back to the system. And, one of the guys who was with us in the studio and when England played India last, Kevin Peterson, he's banging on about franchise first-class cricket. You know, you might have a point. I'm not going to disagree with them, but we can't look at 18 first-class counties. This has been the history of the game of cricket. You know, Kevin is speaking from somebody who hasn't been part of the history before he came into our country in 2003. So there are. I do think cricket needs to move on and have a look at itself, and I think we have to prioritise red ball cricket. But county cricket has not been a problem when we were winning Ashes. It's not been a problem when we were the best side in the world, when Strauss was in charge or when Vaughan was in charge. So, you know, the system has been challenging. Something has changed. And I look at why I blame the system. I look at techniques. I look at, you know, I'm a bowler at 5 stone heavier than what I was, than what I was playing. I'm 42-year-old. And I look at England's top order technique of the numbers one and number two, And I fancy my chance. If I get one anywhere near our stump, they're going to nick it or they're going to miss it. And that, for me, is the difference between where we are. I blame the system. I blame our system, our coaching system, our letting people have techniques like this, playing that way. And you can turn around and you can say, yes, that got them to international cricket. Well, you know, it didn't take much to get international cricket if this is what's happening to the England team. So I think there's going to be a lot of questions. There's always a lot of questions asked when you have a bad day. The challenge is to come back stronger, but we keep making the same mistakes. Our techniques are getting questioned all the time. Against fantastic bowling. We've played against two very, very good bowling attacks so far this year. And we're going to go and get a better one in Australia in 4 months' time. So something has either got to change. You talk about the 100 and things like that. That came about. It was brilliant in between test match. In between the innings, the TV straight away plugged the 100 and showed some footage of the 100. And yes, that is, you know, I've been in ECB's big money spinner and we're going to push it and we're going to go. Again, that's why I go back and say I blame the system. A very good friend of mine has been to Trent Bridge today. He sent me a text message before, and he's a good friend of mine who knows cricket. And I mean, he knows cricket. He's played for a lot of years at club level, and he's followed the England cricket team around the world. Caribbean, he followed me. South Africa, he followed me. And he mentioned 78 overs. 78 overs bowling a day. And he says, I can't find somebody to whinge at. And I says, you'll not. They're watching the 100. And that, for me, is a sad case of where English cricket's at test level at this moment in time.
Okay. Well, let's give credit where credit's due, because India bowled fantastically well, wouldn't you say? They sprung a surprise on us. Mike Atherton, again, did suggest that they were thinking of dropping Ravi Chandra and Ashwin. They did. I think Ishant Sharma picked up a little injury. So that meant Thakur and Siraj came into the side. We know a lot about these guys. We've seen a lot of them over the last 6 to 8 months or so. Shows the strength and depth that they've got. But they were irresistible. I mean, I know England were only two down at lunch. They could have been four down very comfortably. Those guys were beating the bat with ease. So when the collapse came, actually, there was no real surprise, because I think actually England had been quite fortunate to get through to the point that they had done.
Yeah, and largely down to the way that Joe Root batted. And you look at the way Joe's batted for England over the course of his career. He's been fantastic. And congratulations to him to go by Sir Alastair Cook for being the leading run scorer in the history of English cricket. But I was watching a game of cricket where the bowling attack looked a test match attack, and it was a test match performance. When Joe Root was batting, it was good test bowling against good test batting. And when Joe Root was on the non-strikers end, it was good test match bowling against under-19 stuff. You know, I thought it was poor. I thought the techniques were poor. I thought the decision-making, some of the decision-making was poor. Siraj bowled. I think he's a good bowler for English conditions. I thought Shami bowled well throughout the day. I thought he was the pick of the bowler. Possibly bowled a touch wide at first spell. Got his rewards after lunch. I thought Bumrah bowled a very, very good first spell and a great last spell as your fast bowler. Yeah, after tea he was irresistible. But that's what you want. You know, if you've got a bowling attack who's got a mystery spinner or somebody who can bowl rockets at the base of the stumps, when you get a team six down, seven down, you know, you quickly, you know, deal from the men from the boys. And I thought it was men from the boys all day today. You know, apart from when India were bowling at Joe Root, it was kid stuff the rest of it.
Look, it does feel like we're going to be continuing this conversation. One thing I will say is it was a good toss to lose. I think the conditions were expected to burn off. It was actually supposed to be a brighter day. But the conditions after tea, they were absolutely perfect for test match bowling of that quality. And it showed, and I don't think there's any disgrace for England. But where there is a problem is when you look down that card and you talk about the technique. You talk about the technique of Burns. You talk about the technique even of Crawley, to be honest. I know he looks attractive when he's smashing a cover drive. You look at the technique of Sibley. 18 runs in a session's fine if you're still there at the end of the second session, even if you score 36 runs. Technique of Lawrence, slightly unfortunate possibly with his dismissal. Butler, okay, his technique may not be as wonky, but he looked so horribly out of form. You know, it was absolutely about to happen, and it did. And then Robinson will have nightmares about the shot that he pulled out the locker. Is there any way back for England from here?
I don't think so. I really don't think so. And yeah, I agree what you said to a point. But then when Jimmy Anderson and Stuart Broad went and bowled for 13 overs, the conditions were too dissimilar to what the world.
Yeah, it's true.
They were too dissimilar to the world this morning. And Kiro picked their bat up, and Rohit Sharma, they knew where their off stump was. There wasn't many moving parts. Forward defence was absolutely rock solid. And I can see Jimmy Anderson and Stuart Broad looking at both, not only looking at each other, but looking at the batsmen as to say, yeah, you're in control here. You know where your stumps are. You know where, you know, the middle of the bat is. I'm not sure Mohammed Shami and Jasprit Bumrah had that thought when they were bowling. Even when they were bowling at Sibley and Crawley, when England were putting a little partnership together. I do agree with you when you make the point a few weeks ago that I think Crawley needs to open a baton. England sent out Marcus Truscothick, one of my former teammates, one of the best players I ever played with. And I think it's time that Crawley goes in first just to make sure that if the bowler strays offline, the ball goes to the boundary and it puts pressure back on the bowler. You don't let the bowler bowl to you. And I think that, for me, has got to be in the thought process of the England management now going forward. Because if a bowler strays off, he's got to be punished. At the minute, I know Burns got out early, but at the minute, when Burns and Sibley get together, you know, they could bat for 10, 15 overs, but the game's going nowhere. A couple of quick wickets exposes Root, and England are in trouble far too many times.
Okay, well, we've had a bit of a moan up, but let's end the show with a little bit of positivity with today's moment of the day.
Moment of the day.
Well, you may mention Joe Root becoming England's leading run scorer in international cricket. Will anyone ever go past that? Because I can't see people playing enough Test cricket moving forward. Certainly don't see any batsmen. Ollie Pope, maybe, but he's played 20 Tests and he's averaging mid-20s. So maybe we went a bit early on him. But at times today, I thought Joe Root looked like the Joe Root I saw in Sri Lanka against a much better bowling attack. And it occurred to me that, you know, he has had a bit of a break. And he'd had a bit of a break before the Sri Lanka series. He looked refreshed. He looked comfortable. His weight transition was excellent. He wasn't getting stuck in the crease. He wasn't getting bogged down. He was scoring fluently, which is where I think he's at his best. 64, obviously, is not... Well, it probably won't be enough, but it's so strange. He becomes a record breaker. And I still end the day feeling sorry for him.
Yeah, I do. And I actually think he got out because of what was happening in the game. Thakur's got one that's not swung. It just kept on going. Natural variation, you could say. Good bit of bowling. Relentless pressure by India on the England captain. Having seen Sam Curran walk towards him. On day one after winning the toss and England capitulating. I can't speak highly enough of Joe Root, where he spoke about Ben Stokes during the week. I think he had Ben Stokes in his mind when he went out to bat. I think he batted like he was showing that he needed to shoulder the responsibility of not having Ben under, you know, at number five, and really trying to get somewhere for his team. I thought his weight transfer was brilliant, as good as I've seen. His head position was fantastic. His balance was good. If it was outside off stump, and it was in a challenging area, he dropped his hands and he ran it either towards Slip Gully and down to third man. And when it was overpitched, he put it away, and he put it away with nice ease and balance. Like I said before, when Test match bowlers of Mohammed Shami and Jasprit Bumrah was bowling at Joe Root, it looked like a Test match. He played it like a Test match, and it looked like it was you know, exciting stuff for the viewer at home. But everybody else from either end has let him down. And I think, you know, you talk about what the rest of the team can do looking at Joe Root. I think if I was Marcus Truscothick or, you know, Chris Silverwood, I'd be asking my batsman just to have a look at the way Joe Root constructed his innings in defence and in attack against a very, very good bowling attack.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee, plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
What is going to happen tomorrow?
Okay, Harmy, get the old Mystic Meg outfit out. Day two of the Trent Bridge test match. India start out 21 without loss. Two full sessions before the rain comes in. What score are India at tee on day two?
Well, England are going to need 4 wickets by lunchtime to stay in the game. A minimum 4 wickets. If they don't get that and India get to a point where they are maybe 50 runs, 60 runs in front by the end of tea time and the rain comes, and they're still batting and they're maybe 3 or 4 down, then, you know, this, you know, I don't think rain's going to save England, but it could save England from an embarrassing defeat by, you know, tea time on day three. And that would be an embarrassing defeat. First part of a test series. Which the test series, 5 test match series against India and then 5 test matches against Australia, you go and get absolutely battered in the first one. It's going to be a long few weeks for the England Red Bull cricket team.
I think it is. We're going to be there every step of the way, of course. Harmy, brilliant stuff. We're going to be heading off to do our YouTube show. Make sure you go and have a little download of that. Go over to YouTube for that. Steve Harmison, 7 for 12. Looking back at the action with a few little added bonuses along the way. But you are listening to the Following On podcast. This is from TalkSport, available on the TalkSport app. And we will be back following day two at Trent Bridge. First test match of the Indian summer between England and India.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.